Upon a time, I used to be an athlete. I haven't thought about that in a long time, but today being the 3-on-3 tournament, I was rolling back a lot of memories from 3-on-3 tournament past. Anybody here else a 3-on-3 tournament champion? How many times? Whatever. Come talk to me when you get more. Multiple 3-on-3 champion winner. Of course, there was only like 4 kids in the Kollel that summer. But still, a championship is a championship. It doesn't say in the standings, no asterisk or anything like that. So I was having fond memories of what those days way back when, what they were like. One of those elements of being an athlete is there's a football league here in Israel. Maybe some of you heard about it. A lot of guys who are in their Shana Aleph, they play in this league. I've since retired. But back then, when I used to be a tight end, I think they called it. When I used to be a tight end, so we played. Who's from Yula? So there's a rabbi in Yula. I think he's still there. He was the quarterback on our team. Who would you say it was? He's relatively young. He's young? Yeah, just kidding. No, for real. No. Okay, you think about it. He shouted out in the middle. Anyway, we started the season off 2-3. We were really bad. And then this rabbi, who's now in Yula, he... Blonde? He could throw a football? Quarterback? What? There's no blonde rebellion. Maybe he dyed his hair. He's in California. So then this guy became our quarterback, and we won the last 6 games of the season to make the playoffs. And they assigned our playoff game in Ma'ala Adumim. There wasn't Kraft Stadium back then. This was like in the times of black and white TV. And we went to play the game, and it was very tight. And sure enough, as we're on the last drive, we were down by enough points that one touchdown would have won it for us. And they said, when they call the play, they call the play for the tight end. And I was like, yeah, that's the right call. You know, this is the way that you want to go if you want to make the playoffs. Anyway, the play was executed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I now know. Back then I thought it was me, but now I know that Hashem runs the world. And he executed the play perfectly. And we scored a touchdown, and we won. We won the game, made it into the regular round of the playoffs. I'll just put it out there. Thank you. That's right. Just wait till it's not. This is not T4. This is like T900. Okay. Anyway, we ended up in the regular playoffs. We ended up playing the commissioner of the league. I can't remember his name right now. But he owned Pizzeria Frat. Marv. Yeah, what's the last name? Yeah, so Marv, he was the commissioner of the league. He's the one who founded the whole thing with Ari Wartelski. And we played him, and we were about to win the game. And on the last play of the game, they clearly did pass interference, even though there was no video replay, but it was clear as day. Actually, come to think of it, there were 2 guys on the Kollel whose fathers were on this team. And because of the lack of call, so we ended up losing 14-13. We got knocked out of the first round. But anyway, back to our original story. Let's go. Let's talk about the victory. So we had the big win, and we were on the bus on the way. We were on the bus on the way home, and the way that the bus went, I was going back to the Gris Kollel, and the bus went from Ma'ala Adumim through Yerushalayim past the Tachanah Merkazit. Now, at the Tachanah Merkazit, a whole load of seminary girls got on the bus. Now, I want to be very clear about what I'm about to say, especially because we're being recorded. That what I'm about to say is not, if I wanted to make fun of boys, I could spend the rest of the night. I could ruin all your teals. I could go 24 hours with things that guys do wrong. I would start with, not changing clothing or sheets or anything like that. You know, we can move along with all the rest of the things. So this is not going to be a statement. I'm just telling the story the way that it happened. Anyway, a whole load of girls got on because there's a lot of seminaries changing clothes, you know. All right, we'll talk about after. Okay. There's a whole lot of seminaries in Bayit Vagan, so like the whole bus was loaded. The whole bus got loaded with girls. It was like standing room only. Now in Israel, as you know, the way that the buses are set up is that in the middle of the bus is like this empty section. There's like the seats in the front, the seats in the back, and the middle is empty because Baruch Hashem is a lot of strollers, So in order to allow the fathers and the mothers who have to get strollers on the bus, so they have that, you get on in the middle door, put the stroller in that section so that that everybody's safe. But on days that it's crowded, so people stand in that area. So I was sitting in the back of the bus, you know, like in the back row in the middle seat, because that's where the guy who caught the winning touchdown, that's where people like that sit. And I was like monitoring what was happening on the bus. And girls, you know, Baruch Hashem, they haven't seen each other, it seemed like, for about an hour or so. And they had a very excited, high-pitched expression of excitement. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in like an hour. But you know, imagine, I'm sure that some of you at least talk to girls. You imagine what this is, you know, what this conversation is like. Now, what happened was, on this bus, in the first seat behind that middle area, there was a non-religious elderly woman. And in the second seat, in the row right behind her, there were other seminary girls. And what ended up happening was, the girls who were in the middle were talking over the elderly woman. They were talking over her in this high-pitched voice to have a conversation with their friends who were sitting down. And I was watching, and the woman was getting a little bit irritated. I understood why. You know, if anybody's having a conversation over anybody, it's irritating, let alone what was going on this at this pitch. Anyway, very nicely, I thought, very politely, the woman said to the girl who was, you know, the biggest blabber, said to her, "Would it be okay if you toned it down a little bit? You know, maybe wait till you get off the bus, and then you guys are walking on the street. You know, it's a little bit." And you know, she said it in Hebrew, but even I understood. You know, like hard on the. It was just hard to be there. You know, if I couldn't believe it. This girl learning Torah in seminary, her response was, "It's a public bus, I could do whatever I want." And I was like, "Whoa." Anyway, this woman got really, you know, she was building up irritation. And by the time we got to Yad Sarah, which is diagonal across from Shaar Tzedek, she stalked off the bus. She was really angry. I sat there, I said to myself, you should never have to say this to yourself. I said to myself, wow, I just destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because we all know that the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, whatever happened in the story, but ultimately what happens is the rabbis are all sitting there. And he says, well, if the rabbis are sitting here and they're watching me get thrown out of the party and they're not saying anything, it must be that they agree. And because of that, a whole series of events... because of that, the Gemara says that's what ended up destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So what happened over here? So here we are in a country where, unfortunately, still the relationships between different types of Jews aren't perfect. And here was somebody who was not religious, and here were religious people doing something that was clearly and obviously irritating. It wasn't even subjective to what this woman. To what this woman was, you know, maybe she made it up in her mind. It was objectively uncomfortable. And here were the rabbis sitting in the back, because we were all in Smicha, we were all in the Gris Kollel, and here were the rabbis sitting in the back and watching the scene, and nobody, not I, and not any of my friends who were all in Smicha, none of us bothered to stand up and to say to somebody over there, listen, you know, maybe she's right, maybe we could just wait a few minutes, you know, let the woman sit on the bus, let the woman sit on the bus in peace. It's not a, I don't browbeat. You know, T4 didn't exist in my time. You know, that's like a recent, I know plenty of good things that I've done in my life, but sometimes you also have to recognize when there are less than good things that we do, and we have to put it to perspective a little bit. You know, it's not just I talked a little trash. It's not just I didn't have kavan in davening. Sometimes these things have serious ramifications. We have to get out of the world of, I just said it, it's gone, it's in the air, and it's not part of me anymore, or the scene is not happening anymore, so it must be that it's not having an effect on it. We got to move out of that mentality that it doesn't matter just because it's gone. The things that we do, the things that we say, and the things that we think, all those things matter. I'll share with you, this was such an impactful idea. that I read in a sefer that I can't remember for the life of me what sefer it was, but it's such a beautiful idea. That we all know that Rabbi Akiva says, what's his famous line, Rabbi Akiva? Okay, that's beautiful. What an amazing religion that we have that stands for v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. But then there's another opinion I didn't know up to that point. Ben Azai, who was Rabbi Akiva's son-in-law. What, Rabbi, for like a day? He was a son-in-law? Is that what the... Ben Azai was Rabbi Akiva's son-in-law. Okay? And Ben Azai was Kulo Torah. Ben Azai says, I have a different shita. My shita, you want to know what this is? You want to know what a Klal Gadol Batorah is? Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam B'Tzelem Elokim Barosa. So the author of the Sefer asked, what's the machlok, yes? How can anybody argue with Rabbi Akiva? How can you argue with that? What's he even saying? You know, it's like that famous, you guys, I don't know if you heard this, but you've heard the one of which is the most famous pasuk in the Torah, Shema Yisrael of Karban Tamid, right? We've all heard that one. So Abraham's like, well, why Karban Tamid? This is like that. Well, what's the Sefer told us all of them? How does that hold up to Bihatul Re'acha Kamocha in any way? So this Rav explained, because Rabbi Kiva's opinion is Masha Sanoy Olecha Losas Elecha V'Recha, that what you hate that somebody does to you, that don't do to anybody else. But that leaves open a whole area of life, of things that maybe I don't mind. We're pals, we're buds, we say things, I take things, I do things. You know, I call him a nickname that maybe deep down he doesn't really like. But everybody's doing it, and he's a sport, he's got thick skin, he never says anything, you know, I'll take his pen, I don't really have to ask, I'll take his sneakers, I don't have to ask, everybody's doing it. So Rabbi Akiva says, listen, Masha Sanoy Olecha Losas Elecha V'Recha. If you don't like it done to you, so then you can't do it to anybody else. But what if you don't mind, for real? What if we don't mind? Oh, I don't mind. My stuff is free. I don't care if they call me a certain name. I don't know if we're allowed to say jerk in the base measures, but let's say I don't mind, they call me jerk. So if I don't mind, they call me jerk. According to Rabbi Akiva, I could call him jerk because I don't mind, they call me jerk. Comes Ben Azai and says, that's not the way the world works. B'Tzelem Elokim Barosam. It has nothing to do with whether I don't mind that it happens to me. It has everything to do with, do I view another neshama? Do I view another Jew as Tzelem Elokim Barosam? And therefore, it doesn't matter if I don't mind. I can't call somebody a name that's sort of derogatory. I can't use this stuff without permission. I can't say things that might make somebody else feel bad. It has nothing to do with I don't mind. I don't mind if they talk trash to me, so I can talk trash to somebody else. That has nothing to do with it. I can't talk trash because I'm dealing with Kutcher Brichu. And when we look around the room, it's not like, you know, oh, here's Yisrael, and here's Chaim, and here's Yehuda, you know, and Yosef, and, you know, and Rav Shach. That's not the way it goes. It goes, that's Hashem, and that's Hashem, and that's Hashem, and that's Hashem, and that's Hashem. And if we start viewing things in that way, so and I'm Hashem also, by the way. You're Hashem. We're all Hashem. So if we start viewing things in that way, if we start looking at people in that way, so then... Would we call Kutcher Brichu? Would we call him a name that I don't mind that I'm being called? The one who gives us life, the one who's all-knowing, the Bochim Levavos? Would we start using terminologies and saying things and talking to them and treating them in a certain way just because I don't mind? So Ben Azai says, listen, that's Zekla Gadol Batorah, but maybe we need to start thinking of B'Tzelem Elokim Barosa. We need to start thinking of, in a way, B'Tzelem Elokim. So in those days, of the glory days when I used to be an athlete, I remember when the kollel used to be in Efrat. Rabbi Turetsky was a kid, was an NCSYer when I was the dorm counselor in Efrat. I think Rabbi Horn was a madrich. Right? Was a madrich those summers. I don't think Rabbi Shai Kamenetsky, I'm not sure he was born yet. But we were in Efrat. I remember the days we were in Efrat. And we were playing ball in the right outside, in that court right outside the dorm. And it was nice because in Efrat it wasn't so hot in the afternoon. We actually could play ball without you know, without sweating before the game actually started. So we have, it was again late in the season. It was actually the last game of the entire Kola regular season, and it was and our team was up for the last playoff spot. So it was pretty intense, and it was down to the last minute, and the ref made a call. He called the ball off us, and it was a horrible, horrible call. I mean, it was like, you know, I should give him my glasses. I mean, this was really bad. He blew it. He blew it in a big way, and it cost us, and it cost us the playoffs. And you know, I didn't want to be nasty about it. It's Selim Elokim. So I went to the corner to fetch the ball. And you know, if I would have launched the ball at him, like overhand and hard, so then everybody would have known, like, wow, Leibowitz is upset, you know, and he really let the ref know that he made a mistake. I didn't want to do that. That's Malva Pnei Chavero Barabim, and I didn't want to lose my chelik in Olam Haba. So instead, in my infinite wisdom, I decided that if I would underhand the ball with zip, so then nobody would really know because it's underhand. But the ref, he would know how I felt about his error. So I underhanded the ball to the, you know, to the ref, and he knew. He almost fell over. I mean, he knew that I was upset. He also didn't talk to me for years after that happened. So I'm a person that believes, this is what Chazal tell us, that if we have a debt bein adam lechaveru and it comes to Yom Kippur, so we could cry and we could fast and we could daven and we could do like one of these like real davenings and we could bang al chait, you know, we could bang al chait so hard that like the guy next to us wakes up from his, you know, daydreaming in Shimon Esrei, you know, because we're, you know, pound our chest so hard, and I could get a whole lot of forgiveness. But if this, you know, if Reuben doesn't forgive me for what I did, so then Hashem, you know, doesn't go so well. I had to ask him mechila for a lot of years because it wasn't going so well. And I say to myself, it was, you know, those years and years after Kolel and years of ball after that, was it worth it? At the time, I was upset. The same way that I'm sure many of us are upset during a game. Or at the time, I was excited. The same way that many of us might be excited and might want to get in a guy's face, or as somebody said to me today, maybe this is the modern terminology, get right in his grill. Now maybe we'll say things, you know, like, oh, guy buries a three, so everybody whoops around, you know, losing a little bit Selim Elokim, but we whoop around, you know, like letting everybody know that I'm better than you and you stink. We've never been in the position of being down. We've never had the guy make the shot right in our face. We've never had our shot blocked, you know, or scored a goal, you know, whatever the hockey equivalent is, whatever's, you know, happening. We've never had that on us. We've never been the one who accidentally bumped or accidentally spilled or accidentally made a mistake. We've never done that. And we've never had somebody, you know, we've never been that guy who walks into the room, everybody's sitting there, and we have a whole like tray of glasses, and the thing slips, or somebody trips, and it falls, and you know, and everybody turns around and starts giggling and clapping and singing Odi Shama, like, you know, breaking glass, like that's a celebration, even though we break the glass because it's Korban Beis Hamikdash. But okay, but breaking glass now all of a sudden becomes a celebration. Yeah, it's Korban Beis Hamikdash because we laughed at another Jew and we made him feel like garbage, and we continued more Korban. A culture that we live in. Basketball is awesome. I'm only picking on basketball today because this is what happened, you know, yesterday. We live in a culture. Basketball is great. The competitive spirit, it's really great. Like I said, I could tell you about the time I played in Madison Square Garden. If you want to hear about it. I'm holding in basketball. I know that the Celtics finally engaged the Nets in talks with Kevin Durant. Okay, I know what's going on. But we've got to ask ourselves sometimes whether the culture of the way that other people play basketball, whether the standards that they set, whether that's acceptable for the way that we do things. And I'll tell you this also. Because I'm a loser and I watch Yeshiva High School basketball sometimes. So it's not so crazy that it happens here on the Kollel. Because to see sometimes what goes on in some of these games, high school basketball. to see what goes on in some of these games sometimes, Yeshiva League. And we could sit here, we're going to sit here on Tisha B'Av, maybe we'll be at the Kotel, we're going to sit here and cry, we're going to mourn, and we're going to beg Hashem, you know, that what's going on is not acceptable. And then we're going to go home and we're going to behave like that and throw it all away. So if the guys who are sitting in this room could go home and set a standard for playing competitively and winning and being a champion, but while being a champion during the game, also being a champion with my mouth and my heart, and to live my life not about rubbing it in the other guy's face that whatever it is that I did that made me a champion makes him feel like garbage, but to extend an arm and to build him up and to say to somebody who's on the opposing team, nice shot. Now, if we could create a culture like that, let me tell you, then we'll be something. I've played a lot of sports in my life. And at some point, we got to ask ourselves what we stand for. Like, who are we? Again, be a champion. Win whatever it is that you're playing. Win the Stanley Cup. Win the World Series. Win the championship. Win the Super Bowl. Win all those things. But do it as a Tzelem Elokim. Do it as a Tzelem Elokim who created other worlds, who created people, who built people. I guarantee you, by the way, if you need a lo lishma, I guarantee you that the guy who plays the ball like a mensch, I guarantee you that everybody talks about him forever and ever. That's a legacy that you don't mind having in your back pocket, besides the fact that we'll be doing the right thing. Looking around at the holy face is such an unbelievable thing. I like to come in here after dealing with teal switches all day. So I like to come in here late at night. And I see unbelievable things. Incredible Kedusha. The godliness that shoots out of this room on a nightly basis. And by the way, if you're not here at night and you don't know what I'm talking about, so you might want to reevaluate. It's worth it. It's worth it to be in here. Like to see like incredible, incredible things that are happening. So if we're able to do that, if we're able to do that in the Beis Medrash, so we can make a revolution outside the Beis Medrash, Tzelem Elokim on the courts and on the rinks and on the fields and in the dorm rooms and when we're interacting with our friends. The Haftal Re'echa Kamocha is so important, it's incredible. But Tzelem Elokim Barosa, let's start viewing our peers, our family, our friends, viewing them as Tzelem Elokim. You're Tzelem Elokim, Yinush Vashemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help to change the world start right here from this point. So that we can be Zocha. That in these Beit HaMitzarim, in these weeks, when we lost the most amazing thing in the whole planet, we lost the Beis HaMikdash. We commemorate the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. When we're living the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should see our efforts. And because of that, we'll be the leaders that will bring the Beis HaMikdash back.